The Body of Christ, Spiritual Gifts for the Common Good, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 to 31. Paul wrote to the Colossian Christians, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." We are seeking to understand what that means for us as a church community. Young or old, male or female, whatever your nationality, what does it mean for you to be part of the body of Christ here in Fordham and Atash Green? Following on from last Sunday's all-age service, we will look at the same chapter in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 12, but we'll focus on different verses. Last week, I sought to show you from this chapter that every Christian in our church community is part of the body of Christ. This is the case even if you feel like you're very different from the other people in church. And every other Christian in our church community is part of the body of Christ, however different you think they are. This is wonderful teaching. It is inclusive. All Christians with repentant hearts, who trust Jesus Christ as their saviour from sin, are part of the body of Christ. And this is what 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 27 teach. Today we focus on spiritual gifts in the body of Christ, spiritual gifts for the common good. It'd be helpful if you have an open Bible in front of you. In the church, there's one under your seat, and the reading is on page 1153 in the church Bibles. I've got three main points to give a structure to today's teaching. And on page 4 of the notice sheet, there is space to take notes if you find that helpful. So firstly, your spiritual gifts are for the good of other Christians. Paul begins by telling the Corinthian Christians that he doesn't want them to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. Verse 1. "Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant." Today, many Christians are ignorant when it comes to spiritual gifts. For many Christians, spiritual gifts are off the radar. They're mysterious and just for the super keen Christians. But in fact, spiritual gifts are for every Christian. Have a look at verse 7, which is our anchor verse for today. "Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." Do you see? Spiritual gifts are given to every Christian, to each Christian. And in this verse, spiritual gifts are described as a manifestation of the Spirit. So if you're following Jesus, don't think that spiritual gifts are not for you. They are. And this is exciting. Our church has a foundation planning document called the 11 Decisions, which was published in the year 2000. Decision 4 states, "We shall encourage each member of the church to find and use the gifts that God has given them." So today's sermon and this wider teaching series on the body of Christ is an investment in developing and fulfilling Decision 4. God has something from his Spirit for you. The Apostle Peter wrote in his first letter, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, "Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms." In this verse, Peter teaches the same thing as Paul, the same thing as Paul teaches in 1 Corinthians 12. Each one of us is given a gift with which to serve others. So it's not just for ordained church leaders, not just for people on the church council, not just for missionaries, but each one of us. The wonderful thing is that as you use your gift, you are passing on God's grace to others. You administer God's grace. You become involved in God's ministry to his church. That is wonderful, wonderful truth. And God's grace comes in a variety of forms which we administer to one another. The body of Christ, the church community, ministers to itself. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 7 again. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Today, often spirituality is seen as a private thing, where you get some space and restoration for yourself. A yoga class or a meditation practice. And this kind of spirituality isn't really about other people. If there are other people in the group, well that's good, but at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter if they're there or not. Because the spiritual practice is about finding balance and restoring one's energy, maybe physical health as well, in the stretching exercises, that kind of thing. But Christian spiritual gifts do not work in this way. They are given to each of us for the benefit of others. And in this we see how spiritual gifts and the local church as the body of Christ fit together. It's through exercising our Spirit-given gifts that the body of Christ is built up. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 16 says, "From him," that's Christ, "the whole body grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." So our spiritual gifts are not really for us personally. Rather, they're for the good of other Christians. And our motivation for seeking and using spiritual gifts is really important. If we seek for ourselves, we are missing their purpose. We should seek spiritual gifts so that we might serve and help other people in the church. So this means that spiritual gifts are rather like a gift box of chocolates, in that they're meant to be shared. Spiritual gifts are like a variety chocolate assortment box. When someone comes to dinner and gives you this kind of box of chocolates, you know they aren't just meant for you. These kind of chocolates are meant to be shared. It would be rude to go into the kitchen halfway through the party and start eating them all yourself. Like these chocolates, your spiritual gifts are for the benefit of other Christians. Equally, to not pursue spiritual gifts is also, in some ways, a bit selfish. To say, "Oh, well, that's not for me. It's just for super Christians." I mean, that sounds kind of humble, but in fact, there's a selfish element to it, because if you're a real Christian, God has something for you through which he wants to administer his grace to others. Every Christian is meant to be an agent of God's grace in the church body. So it'd be like someone coming to dinner with a box of chocolates, but you refuse to accept them. "Oh, that's so kind of you, but I'm not really worthy of such a gift. You keep them." If you did that, no one at the dinner party gets to enjoy them because you refuse to accept the gift. So your spiritual gifts are for the good of other Christians. The second thing that I want you to see today is the unity and variety involved in spiritual gifts. So this is my second point. Spiritual gifts, unity and variety, verses 1 to 6. With spiritual gifts, there's a unity regarding their message and source, but variety in their expression. Unity of message. The Corinthian Christians were really into spiritual gifts, but not always in a good way. Actually, Paul wrote these chapters in 1 Corinthians because they had some wonky and arrogant attitudes about gifts. Sometimes they were impressed by supposed manifestations of the Spirit, when in fact the Holy Spirit wasn't involved at all. Paul makes the simple point in verse 3, that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says, "Jesus be cursed." However powerful or seemingly supernatural the manifestation, if it's anti-Jesus, then it's not from the Spirit of God. Religions that are anti-Jesus, don't have him at the centre, are not from God's Spirit. Rather, God's Holy Spirit has a simple message which runs through all true ministry. It's there in verse 3. Jesus is Lord. This is the Holy Spirit's message. So we should expect unity regarding the message when spiritual gifts are used. This is a very simple truth. When people claim spiritual power, listen to their message. Is Jesus clearly at the center? Is he Lord of all in the message? Or do they spend a lot of time talking about other things? Talking about contact with angels, or channeling power, or healing the body, but with no reference to Jesus. So spiritual gifts are marked by unity regarding the message. Then they have a unity of source. All the spiritual gifts come from the triune God, one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Have a look at verses 4 to 6, which are a wonderful Trinitarian passage, and they're on the screen as well. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God. So different, same. The gifts are described as coming from the Spirit, from the Lord, from God. There's unity in the source of spiritual gifts. They come from God, they come from the Spirit of God. But alongside the unity of the message and the unity of their origin, we see that there is variety of expression in the different gifts. There are different kinds of gifts, different kinds of service, and different kinds of workings or activities. Paul lists some of them in verses 8 to 11. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge. To another, by the faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, that is, different languages. To still another, interpretation of these languages. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. So Paul tells us that there are different spiritual gifts, but all of them focus on the same message and come from the same source, which is God, the true God. Unity and variety are involved with the spiritual gifts. So to return to the chocolate box analogy, when we think of spiritual gifts, we need to think of selection boxes like Cadbury's Milk Tray or Quality Street, where there is a variety of chocolates in the box. They're not all the same. We don't all have the same spiritual gift in the church. So a box of chocs like, say, After Eights, where they're all the same chocolate, that's a wrong image. No, it's a variety selection box. And all this is important because the Corinthian Christians got muddled about spiritual gifts. And the same thing can happen to us today. We might start to think that things are spiritual even when Jesus' lordship isn't honoured. We might not notice when the message goes beyond the message of the Bible. We might not accept the diversity of different gifts, ways of serving and activities which the Spirit administers grace through. For me, a personal lesson in this was the 9 o'clock service in Sheffield in the early 1990s. The 9 o'clock service, or NOS for short, developed in an Anglican church in Sheffield. It was new and exciting, and used what would have been called then club rave music, and would now be called electronic dance music, or EDM for short. People flocked from around the country to see this new form of worship, and it was labelled as prophetic by some at the time. And it was enormously exciting for me. But over a period of years, the theology moved from an evangelical beginning to an environmental focus in the Planetary Mass that you can see a poster for on the screen. I believe this was a communion service to heal the planet. The theology went through a progression over several years and moved away from being biblical. At that time, I didn't know any of this, and I went to a Christian festival where NOS led a main stage event, and it was amazing for me. The music was cutting edge, and I was blown away. But the next day, a Christian leader spoke about the absence of something in that event, and I can't really remember what he said, and I didn't pay that much attention at the time, exhilarated by the previous night's event. As some of you may know, there was a very public scandal around NOS that brought its demise in 1995. The lesson to me as a young Christian was about what looked spiritual and what pleased me. I lacked wisdom and discernment. I was in my early 20s, either at university or just after uni. The musical form pleased me so much that I wasn't concerned about the lack of Jesus content in that main stage event. These verses in 1 Corinthians 12 give you a way of looking at different expressions of Christianity. If you move away over the coming years, you'll need to find a new church to join. If and when you do, don't just look at the form. Don't just focus on the style of music, whether you like it. Don't just look at the architecture. Look at the content. What is preached and proclaimed? Is Jesus central? Is he honoured as Lord? Is the triune God recognised as the source of spiritual gifts? Is a diversity of gifts being encouraged? Different ways of serving? Different activities for the common good? So spiritual gifts have a unity of message, a unity of source, and they're expressed in a variety of different ways. Having clarified Paul's teaching that your spiritual gifts are for the good of other Christians, we come to our final point for today. Each of us should strive for gifts that build up the church community. In the final verses of the chapter, Paul makes the point that in the church, we don't all have the same gifts or roles. Verse 29. Are all apostles, writes Paul? The answer is no. Are all prophets? Again, the answer is no. Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in other languages? No, 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 no. But, verse 31, eagerly desire the greater gifts. We are to eagerly desire spiritual gifts. We're to strive for spiritual gifts. We're to be zealous in our pursuit of them because they build up the church. But note that Paul says we are to desire the greater gifts. What does he mean by greater? Are some gifts better than others? And the answer is yes, perhaps surprisingly. Some spiritual gifts are better than others, and Paul gives a basis for assessing them in chapter 14, verse 12. So if you've got your Bible open, you just flip over the page. Chapter 14, verse 12. Since you are eager to have spiritual gifts, try to excel in gifts that build up the church. Does the gift build up the church community? Does it edify the church? This is the measure of the quality of a gift, that it grows other Christians into spiritual maturity, into unity in the faith and knowledge of Jesus, the Son of God. So this is how we measure the greatness of a gift, by its edification of others. Corinthians teaches us that we should strive for gifts that build others up. We can approach this very simply. What does All Saints Church, Fordham and Ashe Green, need at this moment in time in 2022? What gifts do we need to build up the body of Christ to grow in maturity? What do we need to edify the church? Many of you will know that we've been looking to recruit a youth and children's minister. We had a second round of advertising during December and January, but no applicants applied. So I encourage you to pray, asking God to show us the way forward. Ask him to give us the gifts needed to strengthen the body of Christ here. Our mission statement at the top of the first page of the notice sheet is to know Jesus Christ and to make him known. We're about to begin a season of outreach where we aim to share the life and hope found in Jesus with friends and family members, neighbours and colleagues, and in our parish. We're going to lean into the making Jesus known aspect of our mission. So we need to ask God to release the gifts in the body of Christ that are needed. We're blessed to have a full-time evangelist in our church family, Andy Jelfs, and he's going to be speaking at a number of small events in March. Please do pray for Andy. And pray that God will release the love, courage, and outreach gifts that we need to make Jesus known in our personal networks. Please pray and ask our God to use us to do his work and will. The gift lists in Corinthians chapter 12 are not comprehensive. 12 gifts are listed. When the gifts referred to in different Bible passages are combined with these, there are over 20. There's debate to be had over what exactly the definitive list is. But the point of Paul's teaching is that there are lots of spirit-filled activities and ways of serving, and that each Christian has a contribution to make. To each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. So I encourage you to pray, asking God to show you if you are making the best contribution to the body of Christ that you can at the moment. Perhaps you have more to give. Perhaps you could be serving in a different and more fruitful way. Let me summarise as we come to finish. Your spiritual gifts are for the good of other Christians, to build up the body of Christ. Spiritual gifts, unity and variety. They're Jesus-focused, Jesus is Lord. They come from the same source, the triune God. And there's variety in the gifts that the Spirit gives. And every Christian should strive for gifts that build up the church community. In a moment, we're going to pray a prayer written by Bruce Bugbee. It's on page 4 of the notice sheet at the bottom and will be on the screen as well. I'm going to give you a moment to think about it, and then I'll invite you to pray it with me if you would like to. A moment of quiet. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for the amazing array of gifts you've poured out upon your people. And thank you for giving a special gift to me so that I can participate in the church according to your perfect plan. Please help me to recognise my gift. If I've ignored it, forgive me. If I've suppressed it, stir it up. Direct my thoughts towards my appropriate area of service, and empower me to become everything you created me to be. Fruitful, joyful, loving, faithful, and grateful. In Jesus' name, Amen.